For the Alliance.
For the Horde!
Slay them all!
Your mom's a bearded ogre and your father's a trog!
Welcome back to Casually Casual Cast. This is the Warcraft podcast for those who are hardcore about not being hardcore. Hardcore can be described as having an extreme dedication to a certain activity, and that just doesn't jive with the show's casual vibe. I enjoy all the things in Azeroth too much to be hardcore about just one thing. I am your host, Tarana Swift, in case you did not know. In each episode, I cover Warcraft retail and WoW Classic news in and out of Azeroth. I cruise some forums, share community feedback, share some adventures in Azeroth, and finish by taking a trip through Trade Chat, where we cover in and out of game events. Today's date is March 15th, 2023, and this is episode 21. You can have your thoughts, tips, opinions, stories, recruitment needs, events, advertisements, adventures shared on the show too. You can tweet the show at Warcraft Casual on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Horena. You can email the show at casuallycasualcast@gmail.com. You can find past episodes, the show notes for Casual Casual Cast, and the rest of the podcasts I host at cozypodcastnetwork.com. You can also join me and my clutch mates Discord and join me in game, and you can find all the info at clutchmates.card.co. That's clutchmates.card.co, and you can call the Casually Casual hotline at 269-275-2759. It is time to hop into some Warcraft news. But before I do that, I wanted to share a little bit of Blizzard news. Three former employees of Blizzard Entertainment, Jen O'Neill, J. Allen Brack, and John Donham, have joined forces to launch Magic Soup Games, a brand new game development company. World of Warcraft, Star Wars, Tony Hawk, EverQuest, Diablo, Skylanders, and many other well-known video games and properties were among those that these three co-founders worked on or even oversaw at various times. With Magic Soup, they'll be building a AAA original games that are truly uplifting and inclusive for players all over the world by utilizing their many years of experience. At least that's their intent. In a statement, Magic Soup CEO co-founder Jen O'Neill said, "Jay, John, and I have similar ideas about the types of games we want to make, and we're tightly aligned on company goals and principles, so this was a natural fit for us. We know the quality of our games will be a reflection of our team culture. We're doing the work up front to make sure we're fostering creativity, fully remote collaboration, and a diversity of backgrounds. And to maintain their artistic autonomy, the trio paid for the new facility themselves. It is remarkable that they made the decision to collaborate and launch a new company at a time when this economy has shaken the sector. They also each had the option of joining or leading much larger game production teams. In an email Q&A with GamesBeat, Brack said, "My years at Blizzard were dominated with Blizzard games. So more recently, there was a whole lot across the industry to catch up on. Playing games helped inspire me and reignited my conviction in their potential for powerful, positive impact on the world." Meanwhile, Donham said in an email Q&A, "All three of us love to build, and there's nothing more fulfilling and aspirational than building a new company from the ground up. We're excited to create the game's vision and culture from the start and to hand pick a team of professionals who share our values." He also added that that's where they find themselves today, full of fire and energy to create something exceptional. "I am even more committed to getting it right from the start at Magic Soup, and I'm grateful for Jen and John's partnership and that vision." Now Now on to some Warcraft retail news. In the wake of Razagath's defeat, conflict returns to the Forbidden Reach. What secrets remain buried here, and who will claim them? World of Warcraft Dragonflight Return to the Forbidden Reach launches March 21st, 2023. Prepare to journey back to the Forbidden Reach for new adventures, collecting two new heritage armor sets for the orcs and humans. Embrace a new journey as a new goblin, Lightforge Draenei, and Worgen Monk. With this defeat of Razagath secured, a new opportunity to seek out and find answers about the Drakthir Evokers has arisen with the Forbidden Reach. The Cimax level experience introduces new bosses, objectives, additional storms, new loot, and much more. And what a better time than to listen to the cinematic. Here we go.
Receding. The Reach is ours once again. Take cover.
Who are they, Sokareth? Is it the Aspects?
No. Razageth's kin.
The last echoes of her storm are fading. She is truly gone.
We should be devouring her murderer's hearts.
Do not underestimate them, Farrakh. Our sister's overconfidence was her downfall. While the Aspect's power has waned, their forces grow stronger. And we must even the scales.
They kept so many secrets from us, and even from each other. Laboratory.
One last secret, deep within the earth.
The location of Avarice must lie within this vessel. I will decipher its knowledge.
What use are Naltharion's twisted experiments to us?
The laboratory itself is of no consequence, but the molten fire that powers it, that we can use.
Keep eyes on them, Dezrin. Whatever remains of Naltharion's legacy belongs to us.
And now, even on the heels of this new journey into the Forbidden Reach, there's also looking ahead to Embers of Naltharion, which is in development. The stage is being set for even more adventures within the Forbidden Reach in the 10.0.7 content update, but there's going to be much, much more that's taking shape beyond those island shores as Blizzard delves deeper into the Dragon Isles with the next content update, which will be called Embers of Neltharion. They have produced a roadmap for the 2023 Season 2 and Season 3, and then also some content patches in between both seasons. So right now, we are live in the first content batch, which gave us a trading post, the Storm's Fury, the white and gray transmogs, and the UI accessibility improvements and class updates. Now on March 21st, which will be the spring update, we will be returning to the Forbidden Reach. This will give us new quests and challenges. The Zakara Vault and Onyx Amulet will be available. The Firbolg faction and rewards will be available. The human and orc heritage armor will be available. Race and class updates and dragon riding updates. Then, when Season 2, Embers of Neltharion hits, we will get a new zone, a new raid, Phyrac Assault, Knifen Renown and Rewards, new PvP season, new Mythic Plus, and Dungeon Pool, new Dragon Riding Drake, and user interface improvements. And that is just for Season 2, let alone what's to come in Season 3 and the two additional content patches. I put the infographic in the show notes if you want to check it out for yourself. Now, I was excited to find out about the new zone, Zarelek Cavern. In the description on the Blizzard.com site, it says, to gather our courage as we venture into the mysterious underground cavern, where you will explore, undertake new quests, meet intriguing new denizens, and experience new dragon riding updates. Players will also encounter new rare and elite creatures and claim new treasures. So, I was at first, a couple of the screenshots they included was kind of like drab and dreary, and I'm just not a fan of drab and dreary zones, you know. But I'm glad that they added in some beautiful zones that kind of remind me of like a Zanger Marsh vibe, but in a cave. Maybe a little bit of, it's like the glowing purples and blues. I do love that. So, but it starts out like a little drab, then it gets really Revendrath looking. Everything's bright red and very gold, and then it goes into the more welcoming teals and purples, which I'm just a fan of because I just like that. Aesthetic, deep beneath the obsidian citadel, from which Neltharion once defended the Dragon Isles, lies a vast hidden laboratory where the Earth Warder conducted experiments. Forbidden practices he wanted to conceal from the other aspects. Within these halls lies the Shadow Chamber, from which Neltharion first communed with the old gods, walking a path that would one day lead to his transformation into Deathwing. While Razagath has been defeated, the Primalists carry on into their bid to unravel all the Titans have wrought and must forge new alliances or rekindle old ones. As the heroes of Azeroth pursue enemies into the dangers of Zarelek Cavern, they are aided by the local inhabitants found under the Dragon Isles, the mole folk known as the Knifen and the Drogbar. They may not know how much of the surface wars, but their knowledge of the underground is key to players and their allies finding their footing within. And they are so cute. They are so cute. The new raid is the new raid dungeon, Aberus, the Shadowed Crucible. We can breach Neltharion's secret laboratory hidden within Zarelek Cavern. It is here that he created the Drakthyr and ultimately succumbed to whispers of the old gods and their corruption. Players will face 9 new raid bosses in an effort to thwart the incarnates, as well as Scale Commander Zarkareth, who forces Seek to claim the legacy of the Drakthyr. They also shared pictures of the new tier sets, the new rewards for hunters and the hunter heroic, monk, demon hunter, and evokers, druid for the warrior heroic and shamans, mages, the mythic and rogue mythic and warlock elite PvPs, and then the death knight priest and paladin gear. Now, there was a lot of talk of people were giving their opinions on which sets they liked and which sets they didn't like, and I was just not a fan of the Hunter heroic set, only because it's like, it has that weird, wonky, big shoulder and then a tiny shoulder piece on the other side. I've just never been a fan of the asymmetrical shoulders. It's like, give me equal looking shoulders. I don't want one really huge shoulder and one tiny shoulder. I've just never been a fan of that. So I just wasn't feeling it, honestly. But some of the ones, like the Mythic Mage outfit, looks pretty sweet. I like the gold and reds of the priest. And, you know, so there are some that really look sharp. But I'm just like, they dropped the ball on the freaking Hunter, in my opinion. It looks all ugly. But you know what? I won't ever have to worry about that because I don't do the content that will unlock this, so I'm just throwing my opinion out there. I don't know, I might do it if I find the opportunity, but I got a lot of things on my plate, and this is not a priority for me. But I'll still give you my opinion. I think it's ugly. I think the Hunter set is so gross. But if you like it, hey, you like it. Good for you. Happy someone does. And with this content that they have in development right now for the Embers of Neltharion, they also mentioned that there will be more dragon riding, and that means that they're going to offer new traits, glyphs, and races, and they will become available as we ride our drake through Zerolek Cavern. And also a new mount, the Winding Slither Drake, can be earned along with its customizations as we continue our journey. And now for some retail hotfixes for leatherworking. These were posted on March 14th, 2023. They fixed a bug in leatherworking that caused the leatherworking weekly quest Drums Here to misbehave. Developers notes the Veldraken Rep Artisans Consortium Rep and the leatherworking design rewards are doubled for this week to compensate for that particular bug, and they'll go back to their previous reward values next week. On March 13, 2023, there was some hotfixes to dungeons and raids, and this is quite large. It would be very weird if I just sat here and read this. I'm not gonna lie. So, if you want to see the changes for Vault of the Incarnates regarding Razagath Heroic, Razagath Mythic, and Azure Vaults and Azure Blade, then check the show notes or for the retail hotfixes. I'm not reading it. It would be so wonky. In a blue post, Kavix, community manager Kavix, revealed every tier set bonus that will be coming out in 10.1, patch 10.1, and this is what they had to say. Embers of Neltharion features all new tier set armor for every class. We're excited to share them with you today. Please note that the designs and values below are a work in progress. Thank you. Add some more pizzazz and don't give us the one shoulder wonky for the Hunter, please and thank you. When these sets are ready for testing, the Embers of Neltharion PTR may include values other than what you see here, and values may be updated on the PTR with changes to these sets via hotfix at any time. So there's the class set design, which will set armor bonuses in Season 1, and they had relatively low impact on gameplay and rotations because they wanted to give the new talent system room to shine. In Embers of Neltharion, set bonuses will have more impact on your resources, cooldowns, and talents. Some bonuses are enhanced by playing certain talents, and some build on popular talents in the middle section of trees. Throughout these designs, they intend for players to feel able to play the overall build or strategy they prefer. And then, once again, this is a very long, lengthy list of changes and what they're going to be offering for each class. I'm not reading it, but I included the link. there was a WoW content creator interview with Ian Hazzikastis about patch 10.0.7, and this was reported on by WoWhead.com by Squishy, and they had to say that WoWhead participated in a patch 10.0.7 group interview with game director Ian Hazzikastis and some WoW content creators, which includes questions on class balance, primordial stones, and cross-faction, and more. They list their table of contents for the interview, and I'm just going to cover the bulleted points because they were so kind to share some of the highlights. And the link to this is in the show notes. So for the highlights, the primordial stones, some of the bullet points were the amulet and primordial stones, once fully upgraded, should be relevant and should be an upgrade for basically everyone. That's part of why it spans multiple item levels and has multiple effects. It should be something that's worth chasing for everyone. And the high-end player should be replacing in Season 2. If it feels like you should use this over Mythic Aberrus Rings, that's something they're going to want to remedy. For class balance, this is what they had to say. Happy with the direction the class balance is going with more frequently tuning classes. The goal is to keep balance evolving and have people who see themselves at the bottom of the meters and having trouble getting groups know that that's not how it's going to be for the whole season. For people who are at the high end of the range, being the best for the entire season is not good, and they do want to rein in large outliers in the early weeks of the season. Toward the end of a season, they will generally hold off more because not being able to time a key or kill a boss that you previously did just doesn't feel great. More active hand in early weeks for sure. They are also planning on continuing to tuning in the patch 10.0.7 that will probably be balancing numbers, but at a slower rate because the season is stabilizing. And for class race combos, they want to make sure that there are narrative reasons for races to become classes. But gameplay-wise, they are trying to open up more race class combos after they take story for narrative continuity. There is a high likelihood down the line that Drakthyr can wield weapons and cast frostbolts. For Mythic Plus, overall, the course of the 10.1 PTR affixes will be tweaked and some might be replaced. Affixes are supposed to make the dungeon harder. Some seasonal affixes made the dungeons easier, and 10s were easier than 9s. They want the experience to be challenging but not frustrating. They want to fix things being hard to see and fix when a bad lineup happens where there's no counterplay. But the goal is definitely a challenge. For cross-faction, they are moving conservatively with regards to cross-faction stuff. Cross-faction guilds are not really what their name implies. This, I'm just adding in, was a big topic for discussion on Twitter this past week because it was, I can't even remember how, because I never found the announcement on the actual Warcraft Blizzard website, but it was being talked about elsewhere, and then they just had to kind of, you know, touch base on it. So I'm glad that they mentioned it here. The cross-faction guilds that are announced are not really what their name implies. Logistically, they are more of the ability to join the opposite faction guild. The plan is to consolidate Horde and Alliance into one unified Hall of Fame. So that's what I was kind of wondering how that was going to work. So, because right now, like with my Clutch Mates cross-faction, cross-realm group, it's pretty cool. But, as I've mentioned before, I thought it would be neat if they could actually add more guild perks and just, you know, merge the guild and the cross-realm, cross-faction communities into one thing. That would be awesome. So, I'm glad that they are moving conservatively, though, towards it so that, you know, they can kind of test the waters and see where the player base, you know, feels comfortable. For PvP, conquest boxes are likely for 10.0.7. They are looking into it, and there's nothing planned for 10.0.7 to entice players back into non-solo shuffle. They're talking about it and ways that rated PvP might evolve in the future. And there's some secrets Ian alluded to, and he seemed to indicate that 10.0.7 will probably have some hidden secrets. And then in the miscellaneous highlights, they added that holiday updates originally on the roadmap for 10.0.7, but some holiday updates made it into 10.0.5. Some updates may be small, some may be larger, and include new minigames, new achievements, but the goal is to get to update them before they get into the rotation. It's something they want to keep chipping away at over the course of the year. And for patch cadence is so far so good, time will tell, but they'll be listening, and while there may not be a raid every 2 months, there are small narratives and small updates that they can do. The X.5 patches can tell a story after the events of the raid and update the world, and the X.7 patches can help lead the story into the X.1 patches. Previously, where there was an X.7 patch, there might have been a lot of prologue content that they could have gotten mixed feedback on. So how do players really feel about it? And then also they added in the highlights section with this interview with Ian Hazzacostas, the amount of PTR testing varies, unexpected downsides of patch cadence. The new PTR going up as new content releases means more people are doing stuff in the game and less on the PTR. They might need to organize more structured days like Play with the Blues to get the data they need, but they do appreciate people who play the PTR. Everyone's feedback is always appreciated. In an article on wowhead.com, they let us know that in a major change that's coming in patch 10.1, Embers of Neltharion, the requirement to complete the BFA Pathfinder achievement titled Battle for Azeroth Pathfinder Part 2 for Flying in Kul Tiras and Zandalar will be removed. This means that any character with the appropriate riding skill can now soar through the skies of these Battle for Azeroth zones without the need for weeks of reputation farming and exploration. I do want to add that completing the Pathfinder achievement will still reward you with the Wanderwing 2.0 mechanical parent mount, though. So if you are still working towards that, don't give up. The reward is still there waiting for you. And in another article on wowhead.com by Archimitros, warriors and demon hunters are receiving some new cosmetic options in Dragonflight patch 10.1. Glyph of the Heaved Armament and Glyph of the Chosen Glaive will change the look of Heroic Throw and Throw Glaive, allowing them to use the appearance of their main hand weapon. Although the Throw Glaive has always used a generic appearance, Heroic Throw actually did use the appearance of the player's main hand weapon when the ability was first added in Wrath of the Lich King. Sometime during the Legion expansion pre-patch, this was unexpectedly changed to instead use a glowing red version of the Decapitator, which shared the same tooltip icon, and the ability itself was likely inspired by.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
All right, for some Warcraft Classic news, on March 10th, 2023, Wrath of the Lich King Classic hotfixes. They fixed an issue with some errant messages involving raid difficulty selection. They fixed an issue where role icons would not appear on raid frames next to the player's name. They fixed an issue where quests could not be linked in chat. For Hardcore Realms, there has been some info data mine. This is coming off from wowhead.com, and this is regarding Classic Era, and this was posted by Rockman on Wowhead. And they are reporting that in the Blizzard interface source code for Dragonflight patch 10.0, bear with me, I know that's a retail name right there, but listen. There are new warnings implemented for the Hardcore Realm selection, which was first noticed by Twitter user MeOrRoar and tweeted by Solania. Hardcore is a classic era community-driven game mode where players delete their characters upon death. Well, early last year, the Hardcore community hosted a Road to Ragnaros event where 40 Hardcore players dove into Molten Core and killed Ragnaros. Currently on Classic Era Realms, there is an 11-week Hardcore event taking place known as Hardcore All-Stars, where players speedrun dungeons against one another on hardcore characters. So this is the tweet by Solania. They said, hashtag Warcraft 10.1 PTR has a pop-up for hardcore realms in its interface code. The global strings don't exist, so there's no details, but there are warnings on realm selection, character creation, and then they put the screenshot. So I put that in the show notes. So this is just some whisperings, something to keep your eye on. I just wanted to share it with you. I don't know if it's something that's going to come into fruition or something that's just hanging out for this time, but I just want to let you know about it. Welcome to the Wacky Warcraft Quest segment, where I tweet out English parts of speech, like nouns, pronouns, plural nouns, adverbs, adjectives, whatever, to fill in the blanks. If you've ever played that game Mad Libs when you were a kid, or if you still do because it's really fun, you will understand exactly what we have in store. So today I went to Twitter and I said, please reply with your choice of the requested parts of speech to help us finish this week's Wacky Warcraft quest. To decipher this week's quest, we need, and I gave a list of needs to decipher the quest. And I got a reply from @thegulo13 with a whole list of options that I plugged in. So I have an audience of my two kids, Meef and Red Truck, Red Truck Bobo, and they're going to listen to the new wacky quest. It is titled The Soggy Gnome. Farmer Furball wants you to retrieve his football from the math wizard in his farmhouse at the Pie Farm to the west. The description of the quest?
It was horrible. Verna woke me when she heard a ruckus in the Paris. The fields were full of sweaters. We left in a rush and I forgot to pack my football. Verna's pa gave me that football on our hotel day, and I feel just sick knowing that those feet have it. I left the football in the pie at the farmhouse. Look for the field of hearts to the west. You can't miss it. If you bring it back to me, I'd sure be grateful. And the rewards, if you get and you bring back the football, are 7 moths and 6 toilets.
Do you choose to accept this quest?
Yes.
All right. Thank you for joining me, Meef and Retro Bobo.
You're welcome.
Say bye.
Bye. Bye.
I'm bored. You want to go for a drive?
Sure. You know where I'd like to go?
Where?
I'd like to go cruise some forums.
Sure.
Right, for our cruising the forums, we are in the classic WoW Reddit with a post by PDPabs72, and they have a question about Ice Core staff for Boomy and Warlocks. The guild says they are no good for them. The discussion goes as follows. People are saying that the Ice Core staff and other SP staves are not good for Boomies and Warlocks in Classic. I'm trying to understand why this is the case. While I understand when min-maxing that a one-handed and an offhand will have a little better stats, I can't understand why people are saying Boomy and Warlock should have no interest in an Ice Core staff. Can someone please explain why Haste, Spirit, and Spell Power are top 3 stats for Warlocks? All right, let's see how the lovely, helpful WoW Classic Reddit community replies. We are starting with JGMan22. They said, yeah, they are mistaken, and slaves to BIS lists. best and slotless, in case you didn't know. Nads Dickelson said, half the fun of Reddit is just reading the names. They said, it's really dumb when people use best and slotless, but don't read the effing blankety blank the author wrote down on the Rusto Druid page. It literally says the staff is best in slot till you get Val. I'm Rusto Boomin Boomy OS. I use this staff for both specs, LMAO. Sorry, original poster, your guild is super wrong and you should dip if they continue this farce, LOL. So there's some helpful feedback. Let's see what Wisnia Nizaza does. I have no idea what their name is. Let's see what they have to say. Welcome to 80% people on the internet. Guides are just instructions of how to play the game. Guess how many people actually read instructions? My friend argued with me and our friend when we found out he had like 15 hit points, not percent, literally 15 crap points. He was following this top guide with them with the item list. So we were talking crap in his eyes. I don't know, this sounds strange, talking crap in his eyes. Had to make a fun during boss, how he missed like 20% of casts or something to admit, and that the hit rating might be important. Ding 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 said, most of the WoWhead best in slot lists are written by knowledgeable nerds from the class discords, absolutely are not numerical rankings from 1 to 6 of the items they show. The top item is usually the overall best, but there's an option if you need it. There's an option for you if you need more haste for some random breakpoint. There's a staff option if you hit stuff offhand luck. And maybe a situational option that is technically your best in slot, but is best in slot forever option. For another spec, you probably won't get the first one. Then add-ons like Biz Tool Tip, rip the lists and number them 1 through 6 with none of the nuance, and people think it's best in slot list or wrong and bad. So there's a little bit of a back and forth going on. And then I'll wrap it up with this post by Felipe 1998 W. Mage WoWhead author here. Basically this. I wrote an entire thread a while back about how people are using best in slot lists wrong. People never read the blurbs, which give context about which items are better based on different situations. For example, as Fire Mage, Pharos gloves are best in slot. But if you use a staff which has second best in slot, is very close to SS plus Cosmos, then Freya legs are a plus 30 DPS as off piece with 4P around it versus Pharos. People never read. So there you go. In case you didn't know, now you know. Oh, and I will put the link to Felipe's thread that they're a mage WoWhead author, and they wrote an entire thread about this. So I'll put the link to this Reddit post and that, guess where, in the show notes. All right, for our second Cruising the Forums post, we are in Classic, still on the Classic Reddit, and this is a post by Fred Howell, and it is titled, what class can get away with doing the least amount of PvE and still be viable in arenas for the entirety of Wrath? And then they go on to say, I want to reroll a class spec that can get away with just doing PvP or as little of PvE as possible. Any suggestions? Someone said locks need all the resistance they can get. Is lock the class to go for? All right, so our first reply on Reddit comes from Kegfist, and they said, are you willing to heal? Disc especially since legendary isn't that good for them. And then AOS and Faz says, I have a disc alt and I can definitely recommend it. Very low upkeep, at least right now. Spark of Hope, plus Sifts if you're a human, Freya Ring, Flame Levi Ring, Crafted Belt, and you're good to go. All 10 man items. And then Magbar said, there are some classes that stack heavy resilience that would probably work. Overall, I would say most classes will work in threes with almost 100% PvP gear with a PvP trinket slash ring. Twos can be rough on certain classes with no PvE gear, i.e. warriors, but it's almost mostly doable. Not a lot of room for error though. Any healing class tends to stack a ton of resilience. Warlocks, elementals, boonkins, priests, Rogues and DKs can build heavy resilience, but can also lean into PvE gear. And then they added an edit. As the expat goes on, the PvE gear does get stronger, trinkets in particular, so even the healers will start to wear some PvE. And then the Disc Priest is probably the one they're seeing being least reliant on PvE while still being a strong class. And then Asnofaz added, if you want to do as little PvE as possible, Rogue is the last class that I would recommend. Sub Rogue and Warrior are the most gear reliant class specs in the game. But you can play Brick Wall, but you really shouldn't play that spec. And then Magmar chimes in, yeah, Rogue is a bit iffy, but RMP will never not be good in my mind, even if the Rogue only has Battle Masters instead of DBW. I wasn't too sure if OP was asking for 2s, 3s, or General. Rogue CC and CD's too good in 3s to be that gear dependent, in their opinion. So I hope this has helped if you've had a similar question. And now we are heading to the WoW Noob for a retail Warcraft question posted by John. How do you best learn a new role in retail? Just wondering if you're going to learn a new role, DPS to tank or heal, for example. Do you level a new character to slowly learn your rotation and abilities? Or if your class is multi-role, do you just swap specs at max level and get all of your abilities and just figure it out? So let's see what everyone had to say. Hey, Zeus replied with, I started tanking on my DK at max level in Shadowlands, bought the cheap tank legendary, and messed around with the basic rotation on some mobs. Then one day I was waiting in a raid pug for a group that was full except for a tank, and after waiting for like 10 minutes, I said I could give it a try and swap back if I end up sucking. Watched a video on each fight while everyone else was clearing trash and managed to clear the whole raid with one light. Wow, this is impressive. Couple days later, I tried tanking Mythic Plus, which is a lot harder, lol. So they said healing I learned by running dungeons as a healer while leveling, pretty straightforward. And then Lo-Fi and Chili said, I like starting a fresh tune to learn that way. I'm not overwhelmed with all the abilities at max level. That's what I prefer if I ever decide to like venture out of the hunter realm. I do roll a new tune, which is probably why I have a lot of ults. And I think it's easier to build up your muscle memory that way too. It's hard to just, that's why I'm not a fan of like buying character boosts if you've never played the class to max level, because that muscle memory means something, and then knowing what each of your tools do, and then what type of the content you plan on doing in the game, how those spells will come in handy. So that's my personal opinion. But let's see what else we have. We have Kikalini said, I normally start a fresh character, but that's also because I'm an altaholic and I just like having a ton of characters. And then Drewski added, when I was learning healing, I would read through Wowhead and Icy Veins ability and rotation pages. And then I would go and apply what's in the guides to the abilities in the game and just practice after that. So I think that's all pretty good advice. A lot of people like to just wing it. A lot of people like to do their background work. And then also, it sounds like people like, Zeus like to do it on the fly. That is so brave, right? Just going, you know what? Yeah, I think I'll try. And then while they're clearing trash, they're like beefing up, right? Watching videos during the process. I mean, that's impressive. So I hope this has helped.
Has your guild died and you don't want to join another guild? Does your guild log in and raid, then immediately log out, leaving your casual booty alone and shivering, talking to the statues in Veldraken or the potted plants in Dalaran? Is your server dead, but you would rather order a pizza instead of buy a server transfer? Do you love your guild, but also love to expand your social circles in the hopes of hanging out and meeting fun, like-minded people? Is the phrase, the more the merrier, tattooed on your butt cheeks? Do you love to play many characters, multiple factions across many different servers, making it hard to establish roots in one guild? Do you crave to be a part of a guild family, but you're also an introvert? So it's kind of complicated, like the relationship you have with Netflix that keeps you entertained, but keeps killing off your favorite shows after one season? Is the poster, "Gaming is about the journey and not the leaderboards," a poster plastered on your bedroom ceiling? Do you love Warcraft, but also enjoy playing other games on the side? Do you want to add another Discord to the pile you're already a member of and share the latest pictures of your pets or the latest screenshots from your adventures? Do you want to help grow a new bifactional cross-realm variety gaming community? Then Clutchmates Gaming Community may be for you. There's actually only one way to find out. Head to cozypodcastnetwork.com or casuallycasualpodcast.wordpress.com and find out more about the group. The Discord invite link is right there for you, and you can find out how to join us in-game right from the menu options, or and also follow WoW Clutchmates on Twitter. Can't wait to meet you.
Right now it is Adventures in Azeroth. So my time in game and retail this past week, I have begun working on my adventure log, my traveler's log, to get some more tender to stuff away for something I really want. I ended up getting me that cloak when it came out and that pirate hat, which I'm still not a fan of how they jack up your hair when you put on a hat, right? If you have a character with longer hair, you put on a hat and then immediately it gives them like a pixie cut or a buzz cut, and I'm just... the hairstylist, cosmetologist in me is just not a fan. I'm over it. I want it not to jack up my hair, but I'll get over it. So I've had the most, been spending the most time in Classic this week because I have goals. You know, I accomplished my retail goals. I got to level, started working on my rep. I still have to keep working on my rep because I have a lot to catch up on in that regard. But before I hop back and do that, I have the goal of getting my Twink Hunter Brew Tusk to 19, and I hit 14 last night before I went to bed, so I just have 5 more levels. Because I played Warcraft Classic before I went to bed, I then proceeded to have a dream that I forgot to turn off my experience, and then I accidentally dinged 20, and I was so ticked off in my dream. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? I have to roll another hunter to twink out to play with everyone because I was such an airhead that I forgot to turn off my freaking experience. So definitely a downside of playing WoW right up until the time you go to bed. So that is what I've been working on. And I thought I hopped over on my 70. I'm like halfway to 71. I'm like, I really need to level so I can get to 80 and play with everyone. But I also have this little twink over there going, come on, you only have to get me to 19 and then you can do Battlegrounds. You love Battlegrounds. Let's do Battlegrounds. I'm like, yeah, you're right, Brutus. Well, let's go do that. So I will never be 80. So just, you know, I just have to, this is like my Wrath existence all over again. This is exactly how I spent Wrath, was listening to everybody have fun and play together, and I was always over in the shadow, slowly grinding, but I'll do it. I will do it. But I just have so many Azeroth worlds that I'm living in, and it takes a lot to juggle it, but that's how I choose to play my game. So, out of game, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the last episode of Casual Casual Cast, if the title WoW Classic Roundtable turns you off, if you're a retail Warcraft player and you're like, ew, I don't want to listen to a bunch of people talk about Classic, I recommend listening, you know, if you are doing dishes, if you're at work, if it's the last podcast, you know, and you're thinking, if you're not a Classic player, I still think you would enjoy it. I hosted a round table with my fellow Lions Pride Tavern Classic WoW guildies, and so definitely give it a listen. We talk about WoW Classic, but we also talk about Warcraft, like our experiences in Warcraft, our memories, some new moments, stuff like that. So it was a fun episode, so definitely check out episode 20. Don't let the Classic in the title make your retail noses rise to the air. But if you don't feel like listening to anybody talk about Classic, I get it. But also, I'm working on putting together another roundtable for Classic for later this month. It'll be within the next 2 weeks, I hope. And you'll get to hear an update on the group's raiding. I hear they've done a lot of progress. They're like, wouldn't you know, Govan? It's like, wouldn't you just know it? We just recorded that episode, said what we were doing, and then all of a sudden, we end up doing great right after we recorded. So they have more info to share, and I'm excited and happy for them. And I also want to put together like a Women in Warcraft episode 2, have a roundtable of all ladies, and be able to chat about Warcraft. I think that will be fun. And so stay tuned for all of that. And also, I think I'm going to be starting the Warcraft Casual Book Club reading on April 1st. I'm just putting that out there so you can prepare. That's in a couple weeks. The book is going to be Rise of the Horde. We can read it the whole month of April. I'll give it the whole month of April for because it's a casual Warcraft book club. If you read the physical copy or if you listen to it, whatever. But take notes as you go through it. And I will try to come up with some questions. We can have a discussion. If this is something that you're interested in, please let me know, at least within the next 2 weeks. I need to know, maybe get into my Discord. Go to CozyPodcastNetwork.com and join my Discord, The Clutch Mates. It's not just for Warcraft. It's Clutch Mates and Friends. It's for the podcast, and it's also for anything else I got going on. So I'm going to be having the book club information there. And Also, I would like to know if anybody is going to participate. If not, I'm just going to talk about it when I'm done anyway. So, because I can do that, right? So, I'm going to do that. It's got 2 weeks right now. Get the book, whichever, and then read it the month of April. And then if you would like to guest on the show, we can have a couple of us that have read and wanted to talk about it. That'd be great. And if you don't want to do that, leave a voice message, call into the phone number. You can get all this information at CozyPodcastNetwork.com and just head to the Casually Casual podcast tab and you'll have all this information there. You can tweet at me, you can DM me, you can get in the Discord and put it in the channel I have. I have a Warcraft Casual Book Club channel in there, so you can put your thoughts and opinions as you go in there and we can like gather them up. Whichever. This is my first time doing it, so I'm winging it, okay? And then if we like it and it goes great, then I'll do a second one. But this is just gonna, we're winging it, all right? So welcome me in winging this. And let me see. Oh yeah, so I put, you can join my Discord. I put that in the show notes, Clutch Mates and Friends. And then I also want to give a shout out to Moofish. They heard the crew from episode 20 and then went and listened to some of the Lion's Pride Tavern podcast and then decided to join the guild in Classic on Pagel Alliance. And they also joined the LPT Discord server. So thank you so much for coming and joining us, Moofish. Can't wait to meet you. And then I put the Lion's Pride Tavern Discord in the show notes. And it's also public. I think both of our Discords are public, so you should be able to search Lion's Pride Tavern and Clutch Mates and Friends in the Discord search thing and should be able to join from there. And now it is time for Trade Chat! All right, this is Trade Chat, the place for extras, the place for spotlights, the place for tips and recommendations, in-game and out-of-game events. Right now, you can jump into this week's PvP brawl called Gravity Laps. Gravity Laps is a resource race. Gravity getting you down, step into the eye of the storm and be prepared for a whole new enlightening... hint hint experience. Every minute, players on the battlefield will find themselves launched into the air only to fall flat toward the ground again in a perpetual aerial ballet as they try to accrue enough resources to take the win home for their team. This event runs March 14th to March 21st, 2023. And if you love your PvP with your PvP, you can love on this weekly bonus event, Battlegrounds. 7 days on the Battlegrounds all this week. Heading to the Battlegrounds will net you some extra honor along with bonus loot for completing this week's quest. I guess kind of goes hand in hand. To enter the fray, open the group finder and then select the player versus player tab, then choose quick match, select random battlegrounds or random epic battlegrounds, and then hit the join battle button and you will be matched up with other players and sent to one of 12 battlegrounds. This is a weekly quest, so before you get started, speak to Kazra in Veldraken, who has this quest for you. You can also pick up the quest from inside your adventure guide. Win 4 random battlegrounds, and you'll be rewarded with 5 marks of honor. There is also a battleground buff going on, and this week you will get 50% more honor points in those battlegrounds. And I wanted to spotlight Dungeon Dojo. That's at Dungeon Dojo WoW on Twitter. Dungeon Dojo is an all-inclusive WoW community that helps players grouping up for Mythic Plus and normal raids in a safe and non-judgmental environment. This is a community, and I will put the Discord link in the show notes. You can also find their Discord just by following them on Twitter at Dungeon Dojo. That's D-O-J-O WoW. On Twitter, and this was their last tweet. Hello, Dojo members and friends. With the upcoming raid and Mythic Plus testing starting tomorrow, we will be organizing a group to delve into the secret of Aberus. To participate, of course, you will need to be on the PTR server Broxigar and be a member of the Dojo. A guild will appear tonight for all to join, hopefully testing as well the cross-faction guild. Spaces will be filled according to, of course, the role, and as usual, we will try to fill it completely to 30. We also test Mythic 20s and normals when they open. See you there. So you can find out more about what they have going on and what they have to offer simply by going to their Discord. And like I said, that will be in the show notes, or it's on their Twitter at Dungeon Dojo WoW. And the last spotlight is for the World's Fair Carnival. It is an RP event. It is a week-long spring extravaganza of the best things Azeroth has to offer. This runs March 12th through March 18th. So even it's the technically now the 16th. There's still a couple days left in this. That's March 12th, March 18th, 2023. And this is their post for their World's Fair. The sand shifts and we return for another year. March 12th through the 18th at the Ram Kahan and Marat in Uldum, a week-long spring extravaganza for charity hosted on Moonguard. This year they are supporting All Hands Hearts. All Hands Hearts is a volunteer-powered organization that serves the immediate and long-term needs of communities impacted by disasters. They have a Discord that is purely for this event. This is not the first year they've done it. They've done it for a couple years now. And of course, you know me, I will put that link in the show notes. But if you're on Twitter and you would like to follow them and get the link right from their Twitter, you can do that at going to at Worlds Fair. That's at Worlds, F-A-I-R-E. Thank you for listening to another episode of Casually Casual Cast. Don't forget, you can have your thoughts, tips, opinions, stories, adventures, your recruitment needs, any of that shared on the show too. You can tweet the show at Warcraft Casual. You can follow me on Twitter at Harena. You can email the show at casuallycasualcast@gmail.com. You can find past episodes, the show notes for Casual Casual Cast, more social media contacts like the Facebook and the Instagram and the rest of the podcasts that I host, and how to join in for the book club and all that into my Discord. You can find all this at CozyPodcastNetwork.com. And like I said, you can join the Clutchmates Discord and me in game at clutchmates.card.co. That's clutchmates.card.co. And if you want to help support the show, leave a review wherever you can. It is greatly appreciated. Happy travels to you. Till next time, Azerothians. Bye-bye.
May our paths cross again.
I'll always treasure our time together.
Goodbye.
Peace. Or not.
In my native tongue, my name means dances with tassels.